I'm back. Good to have a team, eh? Back each other up. It's fantastic. We're finishing up our biblical friendship series today. And I thought we'd start with a little bit of personal flashbacks. Kind of, I know this series got me thinking about my life and life as a child, life as a young adult, and where I am today. And in my younger years, I used to play rugby. And I was always nicknamed Bean. Bean was my nickname because I was kind of tall and skinny. And I was always in the lock, and I wanted to be flanker. I kept trying to be flanker, but they always put me lock. And so all my life I was lock. And then we come to kind of in high school years. This is me. Oh, that's just suddenly sword on the back screen. There it is. That's me when I was first starting to play rugby. I'm not sure how old I am there. That's probably intermediate. It's just looking at the face. I was blonde when I met Carlene, and I'm now re-blonding, so. But I still consider myself to be blonde. Like, if you talk about how do you view yourself, I kind of think that I'm blonde, but anyway. So I played rugby through high school years. I have this memory of the mall collapsing, and I can even remember the field that it happened on. They ripped all the ligaments in my ankle, and that was just before the Australian rugby tour, and so I didn't go. And so I missed out on the Australian rugby tour, but it also kind of closed out my rugby career. That was the end of rugby. Then come university years, and I discovered just the absolute adventure, the outdoors. And every kind of moment in between my engineering studies, I would be climbing mountains or caving or climbing or river surfing or biking whenever I could. So this is me sitting on a mountain in Araki, Mount Cook National Park. That's Mount Sefton in the background there. I absolutely loved it. Then come into my later young adult years, I have this memory of at a church event getting dressed up as Big Bird. And that's not me. That's just a picture of Big Bird. But I did look like that at that point. And what happened is it became so ingrained that people started calling me Big Bird, even started getting emails. Big Bird. I got text messages, hey, Big Bird. And so I started writing this regular email to some of the church leaders of Big Bird's hot tips for youth discipleship. As you reflect back on your life, I don't know if you are, but I have been, and I can see that I've been on this journey of learning about who am I. And you kind of look at the different stages of your life, you know, Bean, Caveman, you know, Big Bird. But woven into all these different stages of my life is my relationship with Jesus. And he graciously and patiently met me where I was and then took me on this journey of teaching me about who he is. And what I discovered is the more I learned about who Jesus is, the more I actually learned about who I am. Does that make sense? And woven into this journey, he graciously and patiently taught me. If you have been... And then you're no longer playing rugby. Who are you? So if you're a caveman or the mountain climber and then you stop climbing, then who are you? Yeah. And if you're a Big Bird and then you're not with people anymore who remember that, then who are you? Who are you? Now, are you defined or by your work title, you know, or your role in the family, or your creativity, or your intelligence? Who are you? Your practical skills, your entrepreneurial skills. Who are you? And who am I? Who am I truly? And the discovering who Jesus is brings an end to that question forever. It fundamentally answers the question around who I am. Jesus is my closest friend. But Jesus is also my master, my savior, my family. My God. So who am I? I am a friend. I'm a servant. I'm a child. I'm a co-heir with Christ. I'm not Bean. I'm not Big Bird. I'm not mountain climber. I'm a friend with Jesus. And that has changed my life for absolute ever. But I'm not actually just a friend of Jesus, I'm also a servant of Jesus. He is my master. And more than that, I'm not just a servant, I'm a child of God. He's my family. And it doesn't stop there. I am a co-heir of the kingdom of God. I'm a friend. I'm a servant. I'm a child. I'm a co-heir. Who are you? My best friend is Jesus, and I don't say that glibly. He is always with me. He loves me. I feel so safe with him. I know that when I make mistakes, that when I'm struggling, he will encourage me, he will teach me, he will forgive me, he will lead me forth. I feel so safe with him. He is the best friend. He is also all-knowing, all-powerful. I completely rely on him. He sustains my every need. He leads and guides me. He meets my practical needs. He gives me food and shelter. He is gracious and gentle and patient with me. He extends his grace and mercy and forgiveness to me daily. What a friend we have in Jesus. We're going to sing this song at the end. Here's some of the lyrics. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Jesus actually declares to his disciples that we are his friends. His disciples, followers of Jesus, are his friends. Let's read. This may be very familiar for you. Is Big Bird still up there? Is Big Bird been up there the whole time? Oh, I can see Big Bird on the other screen. Oh, flashbacks. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. If you pause for a moment, the relationship with Jesus is described as a friendship. The creator of the universe kind of rocks your mind. The one who made all that we see, the Alpha and the Omega, is also our friend. It's just mind-blowing. So Jesus declares that we are his friends if we do what he commands and love each other. And Jesus also tells us that to be his friend means that he makes known the Father's purposes, will, and wisdom to us. So friendship with Jesus means we are therefore involved with and have knowledge of our Father's purposes, wisdoms, and ways. So we're not just working and following instructions. We're actually sharing in his work with an understanding of why and where it's going. He is working in and through us, not just do this. Do that, do this. He's actually, let's share in this amazing kingdom project together. He's bringing us in on it. He's sharing the wisdoms, the reasons, and the purposes. That is part in one of the aspects of friendship that Jesus articulates here. We are not just blindly working, doing instructions without the close proximity and intimacy of being part of the vision and sharing in it. In the same way that Jesus walked with his disciples in the flesh, as their friend, Jesus walks with us today in the Spirit as our friend. He continues to make known his purposes. He continues to make known the Father's will so that we can share in it together each day. But Jesus is not just my friend. He is also my Lord, my King, my Savior, my Master. Therefore, I am a friend of Jesus, but I am also a servant of Jesus. And when Jesus said, you may have noticed in that scripture, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. He actually was not putting an end to our understanding of being a servant. He's actually expanding to describe an incredibly unique relationship to help us understand the full picture of what it means to come into a relationship with Jesus. He's kind of saying, look, as you come into a relationship with me, it is a friendship, but it's also this and this and this. And is this making sense? He's using human understanding and metaphors to help us understanding that we help us understand something that we do not yet know. You know what it means to have a friend. You can come into friendship with me. You know what it means to be a servant. You can serve me. And he's using these human metaphors and relationships to help us understand something that is unique and not like anything else. So he's not putting an end to our understanding of servant. When we put our faith in Jesus, we become both a friend and a servant. Our relationship with Jesus is different. We are friends because Jesus has made the Father's will known to us, and he is allowing us to share in this. But being a friend does not end the fact that we are doing his work, that he is giving commands, that he's leading us, and we're serving his vision. The Apostle Peter continued to see himself as a servant of Jesus. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. The Apostle Paul continued to see himself as a servant of Jesus. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. One more, James. The disciple James continued to see himself as a servant. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. You getting the picture? Yes, we're friends, but we are also servants. They're not opposite. We have a unique relationship here. We are sharing in the vision and the wisdoms and the purposes, but we're still doing his work. We still need his instructions. At the Last Supper, Jesus affirmed our relationship with him, where he is our master, we are servants. And because of his love and goodness, actually that overflows to a lifestyle of serving other people. And so the overflow of being friends, the overflow of being a servant, is that we overflow with friendship and service to other people, because that is who he is. And he is wanting that relational dimension and that blessing to grow beyond. And so these are the words at the Last Supper. Again, will be familiar for you probably. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. We serve him and love him through our obedience to him. At another point, Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. We do have a master-servant relationship with Jesus, but we also have that friendship where we're sharing in the purposes and the vision. He leads and guides and shows us what to do on a daily basis through his Holy Spirit, through Christ in us who continues to teach and lead us. We are his servants. He is our king. We are doing his work. It's not our work. It's his kingdom. He's allowing us to co-labor, to share in the work that he is continuing to do here on earth. We don't know what to build or how to go about that. He does. By listening to, obeying, and keeping in step with him, we will be faithful servants. Amen? But we're not only friends, we're not only servants, we are children of God. And that is just another, that speaks volumes about the unique nature of this relationship that we're brought into because of what Christ has done for us. We are not just friends with a stranger that we have enjoyed their company and got to know and spending time with. And we're not just workers, servants, colleagues in a business who are now just working together on a project. We are family. It's a family kingdom business. And we are related because we all share what? The same Holy Spirit. We do not share the same bloodline. What brings us together is we share the same faith in Jesus Christ. We share the same Holy Spirit. We are family because of that. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Pause on that. We are children of God. This speaks so much about the relationship that we have with Christ, with our Father in heaven. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We have been adopted into God's family through faith in Jesus. He's gifted us the Holy Spirit and welcomed us into the family of God so that we are able to call God Abba, Father.
And we say hallelujah.
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 Absolutely. Say it one more time. It wasn't loud enough.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Preacher brother. Yeah, I love the enthusiasm. Thank you. Yeah, and it stirs me just to hear your faith bubble out like that. Let's bring on more of that. Praise the Lord for what he's done. And I suppose that's what's so powerful about truth, is each truth, when it becomes real to us, just unlocks a desire to worship. Because truth on a page is one thing, but when you suddenly like, this is true, I believe, then the only response is worship, isn't it? You can't help it, because it's just so mind-blowing what Jesus has done for us that you just want to just praise his name. And so, yeah, amen to that. So being a son or daughter speaks volumes of our relationship with the Lord. We're not welcomed in like an outsider, and it's not temporary. You know, you're not just coming over for dinner. We are adopted. That word, it's like you are adopted and brought in as a son or daughter so that we call God our Father. And we share the same intimacy and unity that Jesus had with the Father. We come into that same family, that same intimacy, that same relationship. We are united with God. We're brothers and sisters, sons and daughters of God. So as Jesus prayed, this is another one of his prayers in John 17. My prayer is not for them alone. So he's talking about the disciples and the people around him at the time. He says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We are adopted into this family where we share in the unity with God that Jesus had with the Father. That is mind-blowing. But that is what we receive, and that then completely changes our perspective, our relationship with everybody else, doesn't it? We are brothers and sisters. We're not just co-workers. We're not just coming together even just as a community. There's lots of community groups around the country. There's lots of people working and doing things together in kind of in the business on a daily basis. But we're brothers and sisters. We will be together serving the Lord and his kingdom purposes here. But we'll be together forever. Like, it's an eternal blessing that we have been adopted into the same family. So we'll serve him here until we die or until Christ returns. And we will be family forever because we have been welcomed into the family of God. Amen to that. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. We are family, we are children of God. But wait, there's more. You've probably picked up where this is heading. If we're in the same family, we also share the same inheritance with Jesus. We are co-heirs of the kingdom of God. I always find saying that word hard, heirs, it looks like co-heirs, but it's not. Everything that belongs to Jesus is then shared with us. Pause for a moment. We are co-heirs with Christ. What is his, we inherit. You just have to pause at the magnitude of that. We are inheriting what Christ, what is Christ's, what is Jesus. So Romans 8 continues and puts it like this. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. So what is his is also us. If indeed we share in his sufferings, there is some hardship in this world that we'll still have to navigate in order that we may also share in his glory. So to be an heir means we inherit something that was not previously ours. In the human setting, often that happens within families. After someone passes away, there's an inheritance that's passed on to the children. There are different ways that inheritances are passed on. To be co-heirs with Jesus means we receive and share everything that belongs to him. The glory of the resurrection, the glory of being one and united with God, the glory of knowing God, the glory of being with God forever, that is our inheritance. And there are many different ways to say this, and we probably couldn't even get to an end of trying to put words to this, and you could possibly put your own words to it. We inherit the Holy Spirit. We inherit knowing God. We inherit relationship with God. Pause. We're coming into a friendship. We're coming in as a servant to continue the work. We are being welcomed into the family, and we inherit the intimacy with the Father, where we know his voice, where we are walking with him on a daily basis. It is of great magnitude, these words and these truths that the scriptures testify to. We inherit a knowledge of God's will. He's not just holding back. He's wanting us to understand. And he actually is bringing understanding to our daily walk with him. We inherit unity with God. We inherit his blessings, grace, mercy, forgiveness, his love, peace, wisdom, blessings that far outstrip any blessing this world can ever give to us. The blessing of peace, the blessing of forgiveness and love will last for eternity, as opposed to all the other inheritances that will rust and perish in this world. We inherit his protection and his provision. We inherit his work and participating in his work. We inherit his authority and the power of his name. We inherit the kingdom of God, eternal life, and a new heaven and a new earth. This is not a temporary inheritance. It is a forever inheritance. It starts now and will continue forever when we die or when Christ returns to restore all things. Amen. So who are you? Are you a friend, servant, child, co-heir of Christ? What is your relationship with Jesus like? Have you discovered the spiritual daily two-way friendship with Jesus? Is that part of your week? What a blessing to come here to encourage and strengthen each other every week. It is such a blessing. In the first worship set, I was just sitting here going, man, praise the Lord to be able to gather and praise the Lord and to actually strengthen each other with brothers and sisters who love the Lord. It is an immeasurable blessing. But then there's a whole week of walking with Jesus. You're not alone. Have you discovered that intimate communion with your friend, Jesus? Do you know, experience his voice, his comfort, his peace, his power, his love in the middle of all the complex situations you're walking through? Or do you just have a friendship with the Bible? Or do you just have a friendship with church? Or do you just have a friendship with Christian people? The Bible, the church, Christian community are all blessings from God. They're all part of his plan. We need them to spark, nurture, encourage us as we enter into a friendship with Jesus. They are not our destination, though. They're a vehicle to bring us into intimate friendship with Jesus. We can read the Bible, go to church, spend time with Christians, and still not be friends with Jesus. All of these things are important. They will bring us closer and closer and closer to Jesus, and we need them. But we still have to cross the threshold and embrace a spirit-filled, born-again life in Christ, where we are sheep that know his voice, where we are friends with Jesus and we daily pick up his cross and follow him, where we live a life of obedience as he leads us, where we keep in step with his spirit, which means Christ with us, in us. Many of us have placed our faith in Jesus, but maybe we've only discovered one or maybe two aspects of who Jesus is. Is there more to discover? The more you spend time with Jesus, the more you get to know him. The relationship goes deeper and deeper, and you learn about the different aspects of who he is. Do you maybe know Jesus as your Lord? He is my Lord, he's my God. As your master. That's absolutely true. We have to get to know Jesus as our Lord, as our master. But do you need to also experience his friendship, his laughter, his joy, his encouragement? Do you know Jesus as your God? He's absolutely God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he is. But do you need to embrace him as family? Do you need to run to him like a child runs into their parents' arms, just experience his mercy, his love, his acceptance? Yes, he is our God, but we are family. Or do you know Jesus as your friend? But do you need to receive the authority you have in Christ and realize that you are co-heirs with him of the kingdom of God? That you are receiving the authority of his name, that the same Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead dwells within us, the same resurrection power dwells within us. Do you need to receive the authority of Christ as a co-heir of the kingdom? Is Jesus your friend, your master, your family? Are you his friend, his servant, his family, and his career? These are the questions that the scriptures have brought to mind for me this week, and I pass them on to you. And I pray that you find blessing as you wrestle and rest in the scriptures that can actually provoke but also open doors to blessing. There is a great blessing in our relationship with Jesus, and presenting it like this is there's actually more to discover in our relationship with him. And we can go deeper and deeper and deeper and enjoy more of that intimacy and his presence through our daily life. And so I suppose what has come to the front for me is let's discover more of our relationship with him, and let's help each other to do so. Let's pray as the worship team comes up. Lord Jesus, I am reminded afresh of who you are and your grace and mercy in my life. I am so grateful for your power, your sovereignty, your rule over all creation. And I'm in awe of the fact that I can come before you as a friend and that you welcome me into your family. And you have become my family. And you've blessed me with family. I'm so forever grateful. I pray for everybody in this room for more of you, wherever we are at. I pray that we discover more of who you are, the unique, impossible to fully put words to relationship that is like no other. Draw us close, Lord. Help us to encourage each other as we discover more of who you are. And I pray that that's really personal today for each of us, because we're all on different journeys, even though we're in the same room. What is the next step for each of us, Lord? We praise you, we worship you. You are our Lord, you are our God. You are our friend, and you are our family. That in itself is worthy of praise. Amen.